Thank you for calling in to the Daily Inspiration. I'm happy that you called in. I wish I could see you face to face and know who is listening, but I just have to, by faith, I know that we can see that there are a lot of people calling into the Daily Inspiration, and so I just want to welcome you to this day. This is day three in our seven-day series. What we're looking at this week is the word world, what it means to be a part of this world, why we're not supposed to love this world, why we're not supposed to be a friend of this world, why we're not supposed to be conformed to this world or spotted by this world. Those are the things that we're looking at today. I defined the word cosmos, which is a Greek word, and it's where our English word is, the word world is comes from, is it's translated into English as world, most of the time anyway. And so we're looking at that, and in that perfect cosmos where God created, the world that God created, it was perfect. There was no sin, there was no pain, there was no death, there was no suffering, there was no disease, no sickness, no poisonous snakes. It was a perfect order, and that's what the world is. And in that perfect world, God was the center of that perfect world. God fellowshiped with Adam and Eve, and who knows what else. He might have had, even with the rest of his creation, might have been a very different sort of relationship than he even has today because of sin entering into the world. And what happened when sin entered into the world, the cosmos changed. There became death, and there became sickness and disease and heartache and pain and sorrow, all these things because of sin coming into the world. And instead of God being the center of everything, man became the center of everything. And that's where we're at today, how great man is and how much man can do and all the marvels that man is and all of this. So man is the center of everything now instead of God in this cosmos. And it wasn't supposed to be like that, but because of sin, that is what changed. And God calls us out as believers to be called out of this world. We're still living in the world, but we're to be called out of this world and not to be conformed to this world, but to be to have God once again in the center of everything that we do, everything we are. For in him we live and move and have our being, as Paul said to the Ephesians, I guess it was, maybe on Mars Hill, the Greeks, that's what it was, to the Greeks on Mars Hill. So yesterday then what we looked at was the systems. We talked about the systems of the world. That is what God wants us to not to love, and to says don't love the world, but be or love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So he wants us to be separated. In fact, the church is called, or in Greek, it's the ecclesia, and it means the called out ones. We're called out from the world, and we're called into a relationship with him. And that's what the church is to be. It's not a social club. It's not a gathering together of people with like minds, and you know, we all farm, or we all do this, or we all do that. But it's the called out ones from the world system into this system that God had originally intended for man to have fellowship with him. And so yesterday we looked at the monetary system. The love of money is the root of all evil. We talked about that. You can listen to day two, which would have been the third day of the month. And today we're going to look at the political system. And although in Romans chapter 13, turn there real quickly. I wasn't really planning to speak on this, but I think it's important for us to see. Romans chapter 13, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, talking about the governments and political systems. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt love, or that thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So, and we're to honor the king, we're to be good citizens of the kingdom that we're in, but we're like Abraham, or we should be like Abraham, whose builder and maker is God, whose foundation, whose city. We're not looking for a city here on in this earth, but we're looking for a city in the heavens, whose builder and maker is God. And in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, God was Israel's king. God was the one who fought for them, and he was Israel's king. And they didn't need another king. They didn't need a king that was like the nations of this earth had. But God was their king, and like I say, God fought for them. But the people demanded a king. The Israelites demanded a king. And let's just read this. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 6. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And it said the verse right before that, I should have read that, verse 5, it says, "And said unto him," unto Samuel, "Behold," or no, yeah, "all the elders said unto Samuel, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." That's important there. They wanted to be like the nations of the earth. They wanted to be like the world's political system. They didn't like it anymore to be just under these judges and prophets, and like Samuel was a judge. And then they say, "Well, you know, your sons aren't walking in your ways, and so give us a king." And so Samuel prayed to the Lord, and verse 7 says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me." That's what God says, that I should not reign over them. They weren't happy to have God in the center anymore. They weren't happy to have him ruling over them. So they wanted to be like the other nations, the heathen nations, and have a political system like them. They had a unique, beautiful system that was so much different than the other nations. But now they want to be like the other nations. Verse 8 says, "And according to all the works which they have done, since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." So God's telling Samuel, "They've not rejected you, Samuel. They've rejected me, the God that has led them and guided them and brought them out of Egypt and done all these miracles for them, fought their battles for them. They've rejected me, and they want to be like the other nations. So let's give them, I'm going to give them the desires of their heart, but I want you to warn them and tell them what's going to happen." And this is what God tells Samuel to tell them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself and for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries." I think that would be like cooks and cook are cooks and bakers and things like that, to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards and even the best of them and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and your, that's your taxes, by the way, the tenth there, and your vineyards and give his to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and he shall be his, and you shall be his servant, and you shall cry out in that day because of your king which you have chosen, which you shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. And Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, hearken unto their voice, and make them a king. And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, go, ye every man unto his city. So here, they wanted to be like the other nations and have this political system set up like the other nations did. And that's where we're at today in the political realm. It's just a bunch of, the way that the presidential candidates trash each other and all this kind of stuff. It's just of the world, and we should not love this political system. We should have Jesus Christ and his word as our king and our authority. He's given us his word, and we're not to be a part of this political system. We're not to be voting for somebody who maybe is the best of the worst, and we vote for them, and then what happens is they go over there in different places and kill a whole bunch of people, and here we're supposed to be non-resistant, you know, we say, but then we're voting for people who are saying there's mass or weapons of mass destruction and going in and killing so many people, and yeah, it just goes on and on and on and on and on. So that's the political system that God doesn't want us to be a friend with. He doesn't want us to be spotted by. He doesn't want us to be conformed to or love. And I just, as an illustration, if you could just picture a cup of pure, clean, perfect water, drinking water, and, you know, you just take a drink of that cool, crystal, clean, good-smelling water, and that's what God's system is like. That's what his cosmos was like in the beginning. But then you put into that water, you put some compost out of your trash or whatever, and you put that in there. That's the sin that has entered in. That's the world system that's entered into this cosmos, this world that is that was perfect at one time. And who wants to drink that? Well, it's surprising how many of us want to drink of the world system, because we're like the Israelites who wanted something of the world. And so anyway, that's we're going to stop because of time here today, but God bless you. I thank you for calling in, and tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll pick up another one of these systems of the world and talk about it. So have a good day, and keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with him.